Let us begin. Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Okay, here we go. This week, Rabbi, Shabbos Shu. This week is Shabbos Shu. Why is this week called Shabbos Shu? You'll ask the average person, they're going to tell you, what kind of question is that? Where have you been? Where have you been? Of course, because this week we lay in Oz Yashir, Moshe, V'nei Yisrael, Es Hashira, Hazais. In fact, it says the word Shira. How many times is it the word Shira in the Shira? How many times? Four times. Four times in the Shira does it say the word Shira. Oz Yashir. That's number one. Moshe is Es Hashira, Hazais. Number three is Ashira la Hashem ki go'o go'o. And number four, Vatan lahem Miriam Ashira la Hashem ki go'o go'o. But by Miriam says again, that same expression, but at the end of the Shira, it says Vatan lahem lahem. Even though she was saying to the women, it says the word lahem, that's not four times. And there's a lot to be said about that. Maybe we have time. If you analyze the context of the word Shira in the four times that it says, in the Shira, that is a revelation of four different dimensions to Shira. Okay, nothing is repeated. Nothing is a coincidence. The word is repeated four times, and if you study the pasuk, you'll notice. The word Shira is used in entirely different context, in a different way, each of the four times, which reveals a multi-dimensional understanding of Shira. Maybe we'll go through that a little bit later. I want to talk about other things first. First thing is why is it called? So that's what kind of ridiculous question is. The reason why we call this week Shabbos Shira is because this week is we lay in the Shira. Now, if that would be correct, so it should be Shabbos Shel Shira. Right? It should be a Shabbos. I don't know grammar, unfortunately. There should be, it's not necessarily the correct grammatical form of expressing Shira just to say Shabbos Shira. And that leads some to suggest something very, very interesting. That the reason why it's called Shabbos Shira, the minhag Yisrael, has nothing to do with the Shira. It has to do, this week is the first week where we are told that there's a mitzvah to observe Shabbos. It's very nice that the Ma'aseh Bereishis. Wow! Shabbos is a very special day. Guess what? Tu B'Shvat is also a very special day. Also, this past Tuesday, you'll ask many people, oh, today is a wonderful day. Today is Yom Gimel of Parshas B'Shalach. When Rav Menachem Mendel Rimanov supposedly said, which we know it's not really true, he said that you should say Parshas Haman. I mean, every single day is a very special day. When is your birthday? Whenever your birthday is, it's a very special day. So Shabbos is a beautiful day. It's like Monday. Tuesday is a very nice day because it says Ki Toiv twice. So Shabbos, there's no mitzvah to observe Shabbos. It's just telling you a fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rested. Bayom HaShvi, he sanctified it. Ki Voy Shavas, Mikol Malachto Asher, Baroi Elokim Ma'aseis. Okay, how is that relevant for my life? Along comes Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives them, they complain to him, what are we going to eat? So he tells them, Hashem told me there's going to be man. And Hashem tells them all the laws of Shabbos. And then, but Moshe Rabbeinu, for whatever the reason is, does not tell them that on Friday, there's going to be Lechem Mishneh in preparation for the next day when the man is not going to fall. And what happens? Lo and behold, what happens? It becomes Shabbos. It comes Friday, and a double portion of man falls from the heaven. And then comes Shabbos, and there's no man. Why do we have double? Why did they collect double what the ordinary collect? And Moshe says the following words, Ru'u ki Hashem nosan lochem es ha-Shabbos. Is that the correct pasuk?
Yes.
Ru'u, see that Hashem has given you the Shabbos. That's why it's Shabbos Shira. The Shira is not independent from the Shabbos. Oh, it happens to be that on this particular Shabbos we read the Shira. The Shabbos is singing the song. Shabbos, when we come to this Shabbos, the Shabbos itself is singing a song. What is the song of Shabbos? I don't know. Whatever the song of Shabbos, it doesn't tell us. We don't have the text. The Nusach of Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Whatever the text is. This week, the Shabbos is very excited. Why is it excited? Because this Parsha, Parshas B'Shalach, is the week when it says in the Torah, and Klal Yisrael reads in the Torah, Ru'u ki Hashem nosan lochem es ha-Shabbos. It's not just that, kivoy shavas, Hashem Elokim, kivoy shavas Elokim mikom alachto b'yom ha-Shvi. It's not just because on this, the 8th, the 7th day of the week, Hashem Elokim rested and this is Mekadosh. That's very nice for Hashem. But what's relevant for us? What's relevant for us is revealed in this week. And the Shabbos is so exciting. And we have become, Klal Yisrael has become its partner. We have found a shidduch. Klal Yisrael, we say that who's the shidduch? We're the chosan. And l'cha doidi likras kala. Shabbos is the kala of Klal Yisrael. The kala is very exciting. The kala is very, I remember I was once at someone's house, someone that I'm very, very close with, and they had someone that they took care of, and she became a kala, and the kala wasn't happy. The kala was not happy. There was something wrong. Something was bothering the kala, and the parents were very, very upset. They were very, very disturbed. And I remember the mother, she said, when I became a kala, do you know how excited I was? I was like on a different stratosphere. So I expect when my daughter becomes a kala, she should have that same excitement. And she doesn't. And it bothers me very, very much. Something is wrong. And now what are we going to do? And like her husband was telling her, that's not necessarily true. There are many, very often, that the boys and girls that get engaged. And the next day they have charata, they got engaged. They have charata. We were trying to calm the mother down because it bothered her very much that she doesn't feel her daughter is happy. And the way she described that when she got engaged, it was an experience like none other. And that's the way it should be, obviously, ideally. I mean, everyone, every situation is different. You can't generalize. Well, guess what? Shabbos Kodesh was like that woman. When Shabbos found her chosan, Klal Yisrael, we're going to guard her. We're going to take care of the Shabbos. We're going to observe the Shabbos. We're going to do everything in the honor of Shabbos. Shabbos was in a different stratosphere. Shabbos sang Shira. This week, it's Shabbos Shira. The Shabbos is singing Shira. Not the Pshat. Oh, this Shabbos, we're going to be learning Oz Yashir. So we're going to be singing Shira. So it's the Yoim that Sha'onu Oimrim HaShira B'Kriya Satira. What does that do with Shabbos? Nothing. Nothing. It's the week of the year when we learn Oz Yashir. Okay, that's the simple understanding. And that's valid, of course. Okay, we can discuss that. But there's another mahalach, an entirely different mahalach. This week is Shabbos Shira. The Shabbos is singing, not us. Ru'u ki Hashem nosan lochem es ha-Shabbos. Okay, this is what resonates with me a lot more than the other mahalach. It's an entirely different twist on why we call it Shabbos Shira. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea, the Shira is written in a very unique way. It's written, obviously the Pashup Shat is, that in this Shabbos we recite, Oz Yashir Moshe, When we recite the Shira, we learn the Shira with a special melody, a beautiful melody, v'chulu v'chulu. And one of the unique things about the Shira, it's written in a unique way, what is called an Oriach al Gabe Levena. An Oriach is a half stone that is written on top of a full stone. And what does that mean? There are many perush as to what that means. The perush that I want to focus on, who says this? Maybe it's Rashi that says this? Yes, it's Rashi. Rashi is something which I don't think the average person would even think like long lines of Rashi. Das balabayis hepech midas Torah. I always thought the Aliyah means there are certain parts of the text that are small, and there are parts of the text that are large. And you put the small part, you figure out whatever you look, you can be. But both the word Oriach and Levena refer to blocks of text, and they're arranged in a unique way. So Rashi says, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not what it means. Not at least in my opinion. I'm sure you'll find another opinion that says that's what it means. I have no doubt about that. Just open up, go on the computer, and you'll find Kanaim and Baruch Hashem, many Mahalchim, from the Kadmainim, what it means. But Rashi, in the Sechta Megillah, says, Oriach is the text, the Levena is the blank space. Blank space. So there's Oriach, there's text, and below the text, there's nothing. It's Oriach al Gabe Levena. Rashi says, Oriach hu aksav, Levena hu chalak. Shehu kaflayim min aksav. The portion that is blank is double the amount of space of what is of the text itself. So you have to go and analyze exactly what this means and exactly maybe the way Rashi wrote the Shira is not the way we write the Shira. Whatever, but this is the basic principle. Yeah, we just learn the basic skeleton principle. We know that the Shira, there's blank space, there's blocks of text, they lie upon one another, which part is longer, which part is shorter, v'chulu. What is called the Oriach, what is called the Levena? The Oriach is the text, the Levena is the blank space. The Levena, l'chol adeos, is double, in the terminology of the Oriach, is as a half brick, m'sechta erivin. You learn about the Koira, how long have they been with the Koira, the Oriach, there's a long discussion, what exactly the Oriach and the Levena. Everyone agrees, less man the public, a Levena is a complete brick, and an Oriach is a chatzi, is half of that. Now, with that, let's add one more principle, and we'll tie all together. The word Oriach, you can't deny the fact that there's another translation. If you assume which word is the prefix, which word is the shorish, the letters of Reach appear in the word Oriach. And when you say Oriach, I will enjoy the fragrance. Oriach, I will enjoy the fragrance. Reach. The word Levena, okay, the Lamed, now we assume the Lamed is part of the Shoresh. That's the Pashup Shat. Levena, Lamed Beis Nun is the Shoresh. But if you want to wax homiletic, you could say Levena is to understand. Levena. Grammar is not exactly perfect, but the inside the word Levena is the word Bina. Understanding. Okay, one more you saw it. Mila Bisela. What's the next word? Mishuka. Is that the word Mishuka men? Mishuka betrayed. Is that the word Mishuka? Mila Bisela Mish. I forgot the word. Shtikusa, something along those lines. Mila Bisela Shtikusa. Betrayed. If you want to put it in terms of dollars and cents, the value of silence is double the value of the Koyach HaDibur. You speak, when you speak, I'll pay you $1 per word. But for every word that you don't say, I'll pay you $2.
Higher.
What?
I'll let the guest of honor.
Okay, for every word, that's why everything came on videos. That's videos. I couldn't believe what I saw. I once went to some of my friends. I'll tell you true stories. Years ago, he was honored by yeshiva. So I went with the video guy, someone else in yeshiva, who was like a senior figure in yeshiva. He went with the cameraman to interview him. And they were going to take the interview and make that into his speech. So I went along for fun. And in the process, I made some jokes with him, and I prepped him what to say, what not to say. They must have filmed at least an hour's worth of material. Questions and answers. Okay, I'm just a kid, you know? I come to the dinner, you know how much time? I don't even know if it was even 60 seconds. 60, they extracted from that entire, and it was good stuff. It really was good. I was very disappointed because I felt that the stuff that they extracted was not the meat and potatoes. I'm not a professional. These are the professionals. They know what they're doing. This is a professional people. They know what they're doing. You have to hit a certain tone, a certain message, whatever it is. I was just amazed how you can edit something to such a degree. And that's what you're saying. They said by the funeral yesterday, to be, he would speak in my father's shul. My father would put up little boys. It was a big, big thing back in the day. Today there are no little boys. But back in the day, they would put up Friday night, these little boys. Boys in elementary school, 6th, 7th, 8th, to speak in front of a whole shul of, literally, there could have been there 150 people, packed, standing room only, little kids. It was a big thing. It's hard to imagine. And a lot of people, they don't stop talking how it affected them in a good way. The Rav who spoke yesterday, by the Levaya, Uri Orlean, I remember him in his diapers. So he also, when he was, what I guess, in 10, 11 years old, so he spoke. So his father practiced him. The one that was nifty, he would practice with him. And his father always told him, Uri, to be immortal, you don't have to be eternal. Well, you don't have to be eternal to be immortal.
You say when you prepare your speech, you say
the more
five
you prepare,
minutes.
The less you say. Mark Twain, I don't have time. What do you say? I don't have time to have a. I don't remember the expression. But Mark Twain says, I want to write a letter, but I don't have enough time, so that's why it's going to be so long. The reason why my letter is going to be, I'm going to go on and on and on, if I don't have time, I would be able to condense it in just the right words you need to say. But I want to tell you something. I have a complaint. This, I always found this to be true. When you condense it so much, I found this with art school. I found it with art school a lot, especially in some of their classics. When you condense something so much, and you literally remove every single possible extra word, and there's zero verbosity, zero, you destroy the writing. There has to be a balance. There has to be a little bit, a little fluff, a little bit, just enough to bring you into, to take your mind and carry you into the idea. Because if you condense something to such a degree, you destroy. I remember how this blew my mind. I once came across this vort on the Haggadah that I really felt it changed me. I don't remember what the vort was. It was a very powerful vort. And I really enjoyed it. And I read it, and it was over in a sefer, and it was over many pages. Then I opened up the Art Scroll Haggadah. And I read through the Art Scroll Haggadah very carefully, all the footnotes of this section, because I was preparing something. And I read through it very carefully. And lo and behold, this vart that really, really captured what made a roshim on me was written right there in plain sight in the footnote of the Haggadah in literally one sentence. They mastered condensing the vart with such precision that in the Arshim Haggadah is no second to none. That Haggadah is like one of their real. Not every art school product is the same. There's certain products that are refined to such a degree, it's remarkable. They condensed it to literally one sentence. And I realized then, wow, you can be so perfect in your writing where you remove every possible letter and word that's not necessary, but in the process you destroy flavor and the excitement of you trying to bring out.
You need the build up. Exactly.
You need at times just a lot. Too much, it's an overkill. You'll destroy the thing even worse. But you need just a little fluff to give something a little flavor. You can't optimize something too much. Then you destroy it. Going back, we have over here two different concepts. There is a koyach dibur, and there's the koyach of being silent. Rashi says the words correspond to the oriach, and the empty space corresponds to the levena. And that corresponds to levena hu chalak, which is double. So I want to suggest to you, the fact this is just real drush. The levena is being understanding, and the oriach is the reach, the reach and nichoyach, the satisfaction, and the levena is double. And the words represent dibur, and there's another principle called mila b'sela shtikusa b'trein. All of these concepts that we just presented, they all come together. There is a time to speak, and there is a time not to speak. And when you're not saying words, that Chazal tell us should be double of what you do say. Mila b'sela, you get one coin for what you say. Shtikusa, that's what shtikusa betraying. Silence should be double. What does that mean? There's no activity, just the opposite. The moments of silence is a moment of reflection. It's a moment to contemplate what has occurred. That is where you formulate the one word that you want to say. If you don't have the shtikusa betraying, the double amount of time of silence, which gives you the time of bina, of understanding, reflection, that is the root, that is the trigger, the fertile moment of where you're going to contemplate the correct word to put in writing.
And also Hashem says to Moshe,
you're saying it's an incredible idea. You're saying something that is unbelievable. That goes hand in hand with the Shura. The silent space of Calvin is saying is an incredible part. It's good to come to the coil today just to hear this part. You're saying is that the Shura, the empty space in the Shura is the Atem Tacharishu. Matitzak Eli is the words. Matitzak Eli is, what are you saying to me? It's a little dush. The words, there are parts of the Shira are tefillah. Rashi says, literally yesterday, Lamadnu, Shemoisha Hoyoimed Bitzvila. That's what Rashi says in those words. So, Matitzak Eli is Lamadnu, Shemoisha Hoyoimed Bitzvila. What was the tefillah? Oz Yoshe Moshe B'nei Yisrael. And then there's this big blank space. What's that blank space? The Atem Tacharishon. There's a time for you of Mila Lamanu, Lamanu, Shemoshe Ami B'tila. But there's also a time of the Atem Tacharishon. And the Atem Tacharishon is double the time of the Ami B'tila.
You have that by when you pay a
shiva
for the silence.
Right, you're not supposed to speak. Me'ikir Hadin, you go to a shiva and a shukul. You're not supposed to say a word. You just sit there and reflect.
It's unbelievable. When I went to the ship, unfortunately, by Reb-Gumbin and Ruvay, it was 45 minutes of sitting there.
Not a word.
Everybody understood. You're just sitting there in silence until one of the grandchildren came in and said, Zayda, you know, like it came over to Reb-Gumbin and talked to him, a great grandchild already.
There are a lot of stories like this.
Started and broke the silence, so to speak.
My mother used to tell me that there was a Shmuel Berenbaum. He lost a son when he was young. He lost a son late. And my grandfather went to Menachem Avin. He was depressed beyond belief. And my grandfather, he came to Menachem Avin. There were a lot of people. It wasn't a sound. My grandfather came back shaking up. He says, you could literally slice silence. Literally. The thickness of the silence was so intense, you could slice it. That's the Atem Tacharishim. That is the blank space in the Shira. It's a moment of Chalak. It's a moment of silence. The words are the dibur. That's the shira. And then there's the atem tacharishun. It's the levena, the empty space, the moment of being, of contemplation, of reflection. And the two go hand in hand. Now let me just go into that. In my Sibirishus, what is a human being described as? Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. Everyone always mentions this talking over and over, but nefesh chaya l'havas l'adam l'ruach mimalula. The essence of a person's neshama is a being of communication, to speak. That's how the Torah, that's how the Ungalist describes chaya. L'havas l'adam l'ruach mimalula. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh. A living soul is a creature that has the koyach of communication. Dibur. What do we do on the anniversary of the creation of man? On this day of Nefesh Chaya, we give forth to Hashem the most simplest possible sound that man can produce. A tekiah. To just a sound, a letter. By the way, what sound is the shofar? The letter tes. The sound of the shofar is the letter tes. Two. The Gemara, in fact, describes tut. Tes, vav, tes. The sound of the shofar, the tefillah of man on the day of the anniversary of his creation, is the most elementary sound possible. The letter, just the sound. And this is man. Man is a ruach, a nefesh chaya, a being of dibur. What is the most sophisticated form of communication, the most sophisticated form, the Shira. Shira is not just words, it's not just sentences, it is poetry, it is rhythmic, has a meter, it is expresses deep concepts. Shira of man represents the highest form of communication man can achieve. The simplest form of communication is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is just ba 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 ba. We just make sounds, tu 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 tu, like a baby. We just make the most basic elementary sounds to show that you are a nefesh chaya and you can communicate. The climax, the peak of what a human being can be, comes with shir, song. What happened in Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, on one hand, you blow the shofar. Two. And what else do you do on Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash? You bring the carbon, Tamid, Tamid, Shabbat, Habayim, and the Levim sing Shira. They sing Shira. So Rosh Hashanah, Mitzad Echad, is the most elementary, the anniversary of the creation of man. And you say the most basic sounds. And during the Avodah, with you every day, you sing Shira. What happened one year? The witnesses came late. And because they came late, they already thought it was a weekday. Oh, they're not coming. So today is not going to be Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. So today is just a Tuesday morning. So say the ordinary Shira. So the Levim got up and they sang the ordinary Shira that you would sing on a regular day. They did not sing the Shira that was meant to be sung in Rosh Hashanah. And then after they sang the Shira, who shows up? The witnesses. We saw the new moon. Oh, that means today really is Rosh Hashanah. And that means today when the Levim sang the song, they sang the wrong song. Okay, big deal. What else is new? You never made a mistake in life. Big deal. So you sang the wrong song. Even though you sang the wrong song, I guarantee you, la halacha, you yoytze the Shira. What are you upset about? What's the deal with that? There are a lot bigger problems in this world than the Levine. They sang the wrong song because the witnesses came very, very late. Oh, the world came to an end. The Levine sang the wrong song? And Rosh Hashanah? What turned out to be Rosh Hashanah? the world came to an end. And because of that, for generations, for 1,000 years, at least 2,000 years, 3,000 years, was still every member of Klal Yisrael has to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Such a thing should never ever happen again. What? Don't you think this is like an overkill? This is like a, what in the world is going on here? The answer is, you don't get it. What is a person? It's the Yom HaDin. It's the day of the anniversary of the creation of man. What is man? Man is a person. What is life? Life is communication. What is the mitzvah hayom that we do to Hashem on this day? We express ourselves, we communicate with the most elementary form of communication, Morse code. Literally Morse code. But we also sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash. We express ourselves with the most sublime, sophisticated form of communication on the same day. And they're partners. They're partners from the most elementary form of communication to the most sophisticated form of communication. The singing of the Shira. You mess this up, you've messed up the whole purpose of creation. You blew it big. And therefore, yes, it's worthy that the entire Klal Yisrael for 3,000 years should be observing 2 days Rosh Hashanah, so such a thing should never happen, to mess up the purpose of creation. The crown of creation is man, and man's purpose is to communicate. And in communication, there's a range of bubaba versus shira. And the bubaba is the shofar, do-do-do-do, versus the shiras hayoyim, which is what the Levim do. This has to be, this is kodesh kodashim. You mess this up, you're playing with fire. This week is Shabbos Shira. It's a dimension of Rosh Hashanah this week. This week is where Klal Yisrael has gone. The purpose of the Bria is Adam. And not only is it a single man, it represents a nation of Klal Yisrael. And the nation is not just to say to Hashem elementary sounds. Go back to the time when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael. What does it say? It says, Vayal Za'akosan. And many of the commentators say, what were the eloquent prayers that they said when the Egyptians enslaved them? Nothing. It just said, oi, 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 oi. It wasn't a very sophisticated cry to Hashem. It was just breath that came out in some form. And Hashem took this nation, who went from, to a point where now, Oz Yashir, Moshe Uvinei Yisrael, express themselves in the most sophisticated, sublime way. This Shabbos captures the shleimus of the world, of the purpose of creation. The ability to go from Vayizaku, Vatal Shabbosam El Elokim Min HaAvodah. Look at the Mepharshim there. Some of the Mepharshim say, it doesn't mean they said anything. It doesn't mean they even said, Shiram Alois. There's no Shiram Alois. They just said, Oi. And now we've come to the point of Oz Yashir Moshe. But there's something to be appreciated. That is, song, sophistication in Dibur is to know what not to say. You can go, there's even a higher level of Dibur. There's the Koyach of Dibur of Bubaba. And then you can go to the extreme of eloquence, and then you go to a higher level. What you don't say. What's not to be said.
You know what affected me in Siyum Hashas? Tfilat Ma'arvit Arvit. Is it when they said Shema and then Kaddish, and everybody screamed Amen, and suddenly silence. 90,000 people cannot again.
It's remarkable. Not a sound in the whole place.
When I saw that, it was...
It's remarkable. It's remarkable.
How? Nobody talked.
But the Koysel, it doesn't last more than 2 seconds. you go in Shulis. You go in Shulis morning by the Koysel, the Kivosike. So everyone diving, it's Kivosike. So it's noise, everyone is diving. And then it comes the moment of the seeking, and there's not a sound. What's funny though is, how long should Shemoneh Esrei take? It should take a Yom Tov. It should take, let's say 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes. How long does that sound quiet? Maybe 30 seconds, not even. Because everyone, I don't know, somehow people, they start early, they finish early. But it's, are you saying the same way? It's wow. They have 100 minyanim, jam-packed. Samam Shasakana. When they had the tragedy in Meron, I understood that, because I almost suffered the same thing. When I was by the Kosel HaMaravi, maybe 20 years ago, so I went, we went to the Ramada Hotel, we walked about an hour from the Ramada Hotel to the Kosel HaMaravi, but we were at the Kosel, I went all the way to the front, and then as Shachar, people started coming, I really was afraid, they were gone. I was so crushed. The amount of people are pushing to get in. It's not Sakhanas Nefashis. I'm sure now they don't do that. I'm sure now they must have a way where they know crowd control. But in those days, they didn't think of these things. And it's like, you really get like, wow, how intense the masses, the power of them. They push on you. It's very, 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 very frightening. Be very, very careful. But they got that Shachas with so many people, and it came, Nates? Unbelievable. But there's a koyach in what you don't say. That adds to the beauty, the mystique, the koyach hadibur, everything in life. It's always, you can't appreciate something unless you have the balance, the counterbalance. If the koyach hadibur is to speak, it only can be contrasted with what you do not say. V'atem tacharishon. And that moment of tacharishon is the levena. That's the Levena. The ultimate expression of Klal Yisrael is the Shira. But in the Shira, there are these massive gaps. Those massive gaps are the Levenas. The Levena, according to Rashi, that's the Levena. And if the words are the expression of Dibur, the gaps are the moments of silence. And the moments of silence are double the moments of Dibur. Mila b'sela shtikusa b'trein. The Mila is the Oriach. It's the Reach Nichoach. Vayorech Hashem es Reach Nichoach v'koyach adibu, the purpose of creation, to give a person the fragrance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the moments of silence, v'atem tacharishon, are moments of reflection. And the moments of reflection is what, in truth, beautifies the koyach adibu that come from those few words that are said that are enclosed in the Ariach. Okay, we're going to leave with this. Let's go to another idea. There's another reason why this is called Shabbos Shir. Another reason, this is the regular reason we've given until now. We've given until now, there's another important reason, that's because of the concept of Emunah. This week is the first time it says, I mean, it says the word Emunah many times. It says Vayamein. By Avram Avinu, it is a hemin b'Hashem, v'yachshaveh loy tzedakah. By Avram Avinu, explicitly, it says Emunah. It says Emunah when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael and said, "Pakoy pakati yaskam v'yasasul lachem b'Mitzrayim." It says v'yamein ha'on. They believed. But this week is the Chut HaMishulash, where it says, "V'yari Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis asasayam." This expression is above. When it said before, Vayamein Ha'om, and even Rashi quotes this, Rashi says, Ein lechem matitzak elai, skidai, zuchus ovois, and vohe emuna sheheminu bi. The Yatsu, that's enough, I'm going to do for you miracles. Even Hashem acknowledges they have Emunah in you. But here, the way it is presented is in a much more explicit, bold, powerful way. Vayaminu b'Hashem, it doesn't just say Vayamein ho'om. It says, first of all, they're upgraded, Vayar Yisrael. It calls them Yisrael. Yisrael, not just the Om. They're a new level. Vayaminu. They had faith. Who do they have faith in? Not Vayamein Om, they had faith, Stan, it's going to be okay. But Hashem. And who else? I mean, Klal Yisrael was built upon Moshe Rabbeinu, the Av HaNavim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Uvim Moshe Avdo. The complement, the combination of these elements, the most fundamental principle in Yadus is Emuna. And the way it is expressed here in this pasuk is something to sing about. The song of Shabbos Shira is not the birds, it's not Oz Yashir, it's not, okay, we say, Ruki Hashem Nosim Chanes HaShabbos. It is the most fundamental Yisoy of Judaism, all comes down to Emuna. Someone sent me a clip, he has a friend, he sent me last night, and he sent him, it's very interesting, he's totally irreligious, and he every once in a while he's showing like a yearning for religion, to Chayzer Yeshua. And this guy he sent him, this person who's totally, moves from literally zero, and has a yearning, he's a very, very big person in the world, it seems, in tech. So he sent him this clip, this video clip showing in DNA sequences. I don't know, I have the clip, I have it on my phone, but somebody sent me the sequences of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, of proteins, how different parts of DNA they bind in sequences of 10, 5, 6, 5. Shem Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's a very gauche, it's a Christian clip. It's totally illusion. And this person was very intrigued. Wow. I look at this, I can see that the name of God is all over man's DNA. And he asked me, I'm not trying to do my own thing, he asked me, like, what do I tell him? He's very intrigued, this is like turning me on. So I told my friend, I don't know what to tell, but all I can tell you is, I personally believe, and I have rise to this, is that this is a very dangerous thing. You'll go into Eichler's, you'll find a whole bookcase of books proving God's existence. They're going to prove to you scientifically with the most brilliant, brilliant analysis, the greatest minds will prove to you that this world cannot come into existence on its own. There had to be a God, and God is involved in its existence. And they will, there's a whole bookcase of this stuff. Prove to you scientifically, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there is a God. So, I don't know, I'm not coming to argue what it says in these books, they're very beautiful books, but I was brought up, I can't speak for anyone else, with a hashkafa, and that's impossible. Totally impossible. I'm sure many of us have the opportunity to see on the tube, on television, or movies, or read books about crime. It's one of the biggest forms of entertainment today. Mysteries, where a person commits a crime, and you have a detective, Sherlock Holmes, and is able to discover who is the criminal. Why? Because there's a rule in life, it is impossible to commit the perfect crime. Impossible. Any act any crime, there will always be clues who did it. Always, you just have to be a detective on the Madrega of Sherlock Holmes to figure out the clues to find who the criminal is. It is impossible to commit the perfect crime. Everyone in this world is a quest, the yearning to commit the perfect crime, not to leave over any trace of who committed the crime. And there's an industry, a billion-dollar industry, even many trillion-dollar industry on entertainment of this principle. And it's kind of true. It is impossible to commit the perfect crime. There's only one being who committed the perfect crime. I'm saying it as a joke, and that is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He committed what we would call the perfect crime. What's the crime I'm making a joke of us? He created this world. He created this world. And he did not leave in this world any clue that he made this world. There's no way you'll ever be able to find the same way Hashem is perfect. He is perfect in hiding himself in science of revealing, I made this world. It's a pasuk, it's Chazal. She'omar le'olamai dai. He created the world. What's the last thing you do when you create something? You sign your name. A painter, when does he sign his name? When he starts or when he finishes? When he finishes. Because if it's not perfect, I don't want my name on this. You don't put your name on your product until it's over. The Ribbono Shel Olam, they finish the world. And Hashem says, Shakai, She'omar le'olamai dai. Do not put my name on this world. I must be hidden. It is for man to discover me. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, the same way he is perfect in the Bria, he is perfect in his desire to conceal himself. And it is thus impossible to take any element of science of the Bria and to find proof in it that it is God. You're not going to be able to prove it. You'll always be able to say, you know, there's something that we don't know, there's some coincidence. No matter what, there are certain things that are off the charts. Like, wow, birth, Chazal say, we had a whole business on Tehillim. The creation, when a person comes out, the whole reproductive cycle, the whole that, the child, the moment when the child comes out, nikavim, nikavim, chalim, chalim, golim, the whole thing when the baby comes out of the mother's womb, the moment when it comes out, things open, things close, proof of God. No, it's not.
We have a concept of belief.
Oh.
Scientifically, if I can prove it, there is no belief.
Exactly, exactly, exactly what I'm trying to say.
Sorry to say, I don't care what you believe.
Right. Scientific proof.
Once there is proof, that means there's no belief.
But
it can't be.
Hashem committed what I call the perfect crime.
My philosophy teacher in Brooklyn College hated me from day one when I told him. It didn't mean anything.
Right, it's incompatible. Religion and science.
I can prove it, it's not a
belief. Science is the way Teva. Science, the science. No one's denying science. I don't think what's the big deal. No one's denying science. But there's a creator of the science. Are you going to find Hashem's signature? It's part of the basic principles of Yadus. You're never going to find Hashem in science. Never. Because Hashem wants it that way. Why does he want it that way? Because the fundamental principle of Judaism is you have to have emunah in Hashem. Once you have emunah and you look at science, wow, you see Hashem all over the place. You'll see Hashem wherever you blink. Hashem is there, the sequence, the numbers, the mathematics, the science, all that. But the starting point is, we're going to prove we have to find Hashem's signature. You'll never, ever, ever be able to show, because why? Because Hashem wanted it that way. Because Hashem said, She'omar le'olamai dai. And Hashem is perfect. And the same way he's perfect in what he does, he's perfect in concealing himself with not leaving a trace of his existence in nature. So someone comes, gets excited about these things. It's very nice to get excited about these things. But if this is what you're, it's a revelation of your inner yearning. You want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, it has to be clear as day, is that being part of Klal Yisrael is all about emunah. There's nothing, that's it. It's that simple. Either you have faith or you don't have faith. If you have faith, everything flows from there. If you don't have faith, all the science is worthless. You can show me the Bible codes from today until tomorrow. You can go find these incredible sequences in the world. Okay, very nice. Back, business as usual. It's not going to make any dent in the person. And you know what's so dangerous? Today you'll find the sequence of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and tomorrow you'll find the sequence for Yashka. And the next day you'll find the sequence for Mohammed. And the next day you'll find the sequence for this, the latest Mishigas. And this Mishigas. Don't worry. You'll find whatever you want to find, you'll find. Eventually. And even if you find something that's so amazing, no, good for you. What difference does it make? It's not proof. You'll always be able to disprove it. Only because that is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants emunah, emunah, emunah. The whole Pesach is all about emunah. This week is the week where it says it as it is. Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim es Hasras Hayam. Vayar Yisrael es Hayod HaGidoylo Asher Os Hashem B'Mitzrayim Vayirom es Hashem Vayaninu B'Hashem U'V'Moshe Avdol. That is something to see about.
In that case, he revealed himself.
What?
He revealed himself. You didn't have to look for him.
It doesn't say that. There are people today that will come along and will tell you that the whole Kriyas Yamzim was just tsunami.
But they were there.
Coincidence. The Big Bang was a big coincidence. If you believe in the Big Bang, so this is nothing.
The place where they crossed was very shallow.
Shallow, and there was a wind.
When you're saying they believed in Hashem, it's a moon.
No, you're just saying why you mean
by Hashem. You can take the whole Kriyas Yamzim, and if you want to, if you're a maimon, then your tapestry was a miracle. Where is your starting point?
Yeah, I understand that, Rabbi, but what I'm saying is, it says there, Yamino, right?
You're such a Baal Emuna, so you can't see it any other way, Baruch Hashem.
No, but the people who were there,
people, Klal Yisrael, the ones that were actually crossing the Yam, they saw the miracle.
But they can also be denial. You can take the greatest scientists. It's only with belief. That's what the pasuk says. Vayaminu b'Hashem. That's what the pasuk is coming. Don't think they were impressed.
That's why my taich on that pasuk, Vayaminu b'Hashem. Why doesn't it just say Vayaminu b'Hashem uv Moshe?
Yeah.
It says Vayaminu b'Hashem uv Moshe Avdo. Because until now, all they saw at the 10 makos was Moshe waving his magic wand, and all the makos happened. Now with Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw Vayaminu b'Hashem. But Moshe was just his servant, and Moshe wasn't a supernatural human being, Vayaminu b'Hashem, and that Moshe was his servant.
It was a moment, the fact that Pasuk emphasizes this is telling you they weren't impressed with all the hocus pocus, with all these miracles. Wow, the Yam split, this, that. That's not going to do it for you. That's not what it's about. Because the day will come when someone will go and sit down with you and will fadrei you and will show you the alpiderech. That's the way it is. It has to be with emunah. It all comes down to emunah. After you have the emunah, yeah, that's right. That is correct. This was a blatant miracle that violated every law of science, without question. But to go look at this and to use this, wow, this is a miracle, guess what? Someone will come along to prove to you. They'll prove to you this wasn't a miracle.
A miracle is not a proof. That's the point.
But it's not even a miracle.
It's an amunah.
It's not even, my point, it's not even a miracle. It's not even a miracle. You will be able to explain scientifically if you. We don't believe that. Because we are ma'aminim, we know.
That's
irrelevant.
We
know it was a miracle. L'malo miderech hateva. We know the truth. But if you're not a maimon, you'll be able to say, and you'll be able to prove scientifically in front of all of the biggest scientists that have no negias for money, for covet, objective scientific proof. There's something called a tsunami, something called a shallow,
and I can disprove it.
What?
And I can disprove
but you, no, you can't.
Not a proof.
What?
You can tell me tsunami, you can tell me low lying and this lying. All those proofs can be disproved.
No, they can't.
With enough other...
No, he's saying what you're saying. You're not listening.
It's not a proving of God. It was a miracle, and I believe God performed
the miracle. Only reason why you know it's a miracle is because of your emunah.
Correct.
Right. But if you can't go the other direction, you can't go in the direction... You know, this was the miracle. I have no choice thus to say there is a God. That doesn't work.
That's not a proof.
What? Right.
That's correct. I mean, you were agreeing, so let's be in that.
A deduction is not a proof.
Right.
There has to be a starting point of emunah, and the miracles are inspiration. It's mechazek. Now that you know you have emunah, you look at the Bible codes. Wow. If you start with the Bible codes, They'll say, take out Shakespeare. I'll show you some amazing Bible quotes. I'll show quotes of Shakespeare also. And there are people who did this. They've done this. They've shown that in Shakespeare, you can find the most incredible, incredible codes.
Oh, really? It was written by a Jew.
What?
Shakespeare was written by a
Jew. Okay, but it wasn't written by God. So how could it be that the Bible codes are so amazing? How come we can find incredible coincidences in Shakespeare? Well, go take the New York Times. Take today's New York Times and go put it through the Bible code machine.
Rabbi Devodolowski, and I heard him again while I was there, so again, I heard him say it a few times. Some student came over to him and says, oh, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, did you ever read Descartes? Did you ever read any philosophers? No. Did you ever read it? No. Did you ever read it? Did you ever read the Bible? No. Did you ever read the Monarch Notes on the Bible? No. He says, you're not. You're an idiot.
Right. You have to be a Baal Madrega to be an Epicurus. You can't just be an Epicurus. To be an Epicurus, you have to be a Baal Madrega. Okay, Stam Epicurus is a shtus. You have to be. Look, what we say is that what does an atheist do in the morning? What does he do in the morning, an atheist? He wakes up, he watches Megalvasa. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shosani atheist. I thank you, Hashem, for making me an atheist. It's shtus, it's just stupidity. Okay, the Irish person just says, they don't know what they're talking about. You have to be a Baal Madrega to be an apikaris. You just can't be.
Smart enough to be an
atheist. Understand it. One last very short aside. There is a minute which is very sad. There's a minute today that really has fallen to the wayside. We're much more obsessed today with what we do on Tuesday this week, to say Parsha Aman, than what has been done for generations. And that is, this Shabbos, when we recite Pesukei Dezimra, there's a minute to recite Oz Yashir together.
Right.
To sing it together, a ceremony, a big ceremony.
This came in the way, so it's hard.
And I'm willing to bet you that probably 90% of the shuls in this neighborhood haven't even heard about it. There's not a living soul, even the water bunks on the floor, that do not know that on Tuesday, Parshas Peshalach, you're supposed to read the Parshas Haman. Everyone knows that. And that has absolutely no source. Zero. There's not a living creature in this world doesn't know that. But do you know that this Shabbos, when you recite Pesukei Dezimra, you're supposed to recite everyone responsibly. It's supposed to go Vayosha Hashem, you're supposed to sing, you're supposed to make literally a ceremony. And this was done for generations. Today, wow, never heard of this. Never heard of it. Even the Hasidim don't do it anymore.
They only start at Shechanah.
That's not right. This is the minute. And why is this minute so important? Because what is Pesukei Dezimra? Pesukei Dezimra is Shira. Baruch Hashem.
I do it.
Pesukei Dezimra.
You do it?
Yeah. Right. Always I never daven without doing it.
Okay, I unfortunately don't see anymore. I daven in Chaim Berlin, they never did it. They don't do it in Rai Daven now. And my father's shul, they don't do it. They never did it there either. I don't see it being done. They're supposed to buy a bris also. You don't know when does this anymore. I do, that's right, I do. That's true. I'm not denying that to be fact, correct? You're right. A lot of things I do.
Have any old people in the shul?
As far as I know, all the
Hasidim old people in the shul?
We do, yeah, we do. Baruch Hashem.
How old is it?
The 70s, 80s.
Yeah. Are you in a base medrash or a basic Knesset?
Base medrash.
That's the problem. They don't do it.
That's not true in every base medrash. But even the shuls, no, they didn't. They didn't do it. They were very old there. They were very old. They didn't. You want to know how old it's old? Believe me, they were very old. I never remember them doing it. It's a chaval, because this is Shabbos Shira. We sing Shira every day. Where do we sing Shira? Pesukei Dezimra. Zemer. Zemer is one of the forms of Shira. So in the Pesukei Dezimra, it's the minhag Yisrael to include, it's not part of the original Pesukei Dezimra.
I'll tell you, in Rabbi Steinberg's shul, Meir Steinberg's son,
Yeah.
He started singing Mizmor L'Sodra.
Mizmor L'Sodra.
The whole Seaboard.
Really?
They say
every day during.
We sing together. We wait.
Wow, that's very nice.
Together, this mode is over.
That's very nice. Every day.
Every day.
It's a very beautiful thing.
Except Shabbos, we don't say
interesting, very interesting. But it's a chaval because the purpose of Shira is it's your participant. Shira oz Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael. By Kriya Satoira, there's no Vnei Yisrael. You're just a spectator. The Baal Kriya lanes, Yoytse, like a briska, Yoytse, Shmeka Oine, on the Shemeya, the Oine, everything's a long Shavart. You just shuckle. Just make sure you shuckle. Okay. You know, and you say the words, you know, make sure you say the race right and this right.
Used to be a my shul with Shomei Gon and the Chazan Davin and everybody else.
And the tafkid of Shira, the tafkid of Shira is it's an experience for the participants. It's not a spectator sport, the Shira. And every day, We do. Where did Chazal give us? I was afraid of one moment. Where did Chazal give us the opportunity to sing Shira? Every day we say Pesuke Dezimra. There's no Shomea Ka'oinem Pesuke Dezimra. You say it yourself. And when it comes, and part of Pesuke Dezimra is to say Oz Yashir every single day. That's our minute. I know it's a newer thing which came into the Nusach a little bit later in time, but that's the that's part of our Nusach. Everyone says Oz Yashir. Every sinner has an Oz Yashir. And as far as I know, there's no one that doesn't say it. Rashita, I don't say this. I don't say the first Pasuk of Tachamon, Vayom, and David. You have all these people, have all these Shitas. I don't say Harachamons, I don't do this, I don't do this. I never heard of a person say, I have a Shita. You don't say Oz Yashir. You don't say. I have not yet found that person. The people who just come very late, they don't say it because they come late. I never found a person who tells me, Beshita, I don't say Oz Yashir. So if it's part of the Nusach, and this and now comes Shabbos Shira, and there's a minute from time immemorial, got over here a whole list of all the minute kadmai is the tzibur together, says the Shira, and it makes so much sense, because it's the Shabbos of Shira, and it's during the time of the Pesukei the Zimra, to mingle the Zimra with the Shira. What more can you possibly want on this Zman, in this time, when we sing the Shira? And yet, where are we? No one even knows about this. And what do you know about? Tuesday, Parshas Peshalach. HaKesef, Ya'ana Esako. Chaval. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful day.
Amen.